All right, guys, buckle up. I got two bottles of water for this sermon, all right? I know you noticed that. Welcome to you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All right. Yes, I want to greet all those that are online joining us as well. You know, we're so aware that there's probably more people online than is here in person. But you guys are beautiful here in person. Your smiles and just your spirit that you bring here. But I want everybody to know at home that we feel your presence. And I hope you feel our presence as well as we study and as we continue to struggle through this year and look forward to the year that is to come. All right? Okay, I want to talk to you about the new year. And I want to get something kind of off my chest right now, okay? I just want you to, you know, we're standing. The year 2020 is behind us almost. Here come Friday, will be January 1st, brand new year. We're looking forward to all the possibilities, to all the things that are there that God's going to help us to encounter. And I want us all just to do so. Okay, I want you to participate here in the auditorium. If you're at home, I want you to do this. I want you to look behind you. Look behind you. And I want you to say, good riddance. Okay, everybody home? Good riddance. I don't know about you, but I have never looked more forward to a year being over. Amen. Okay, amen. So here we are. We're at the end of 2020. And you know what I think? I think most people, if you look back and somebody said back in February, early March, that this is what we were going to go through for this length of time and this long and still going to be going on, most people would have said, I don't think I can do that. You know, I don't think I can do that. You know, somebody came up to me after church. I don't know about you, but I've been kind of disappointed about all the restaurants. You know, somebody came up to me after first service and gave me a Cracker Barrel gift card. And I said, thanks a lot. When will I be able to use that? Yeah, that's right. So we're looking forward to things changing. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but we've all had those moments in life where we would say, I'm glad that's over, right? How many of you have been here 15 years or longer? Yeah, there's quite a few of you been here 15 years or longer. You might remember this happening. It happened on Christmas Eve. You know, the church was just packed full of people. We didn't have COVID to worry about. There were people standing everywhere. Our service was started by these beautiful children standing on the steps up here and singing this wonderful song. And Arlene and I had been traveling earlier, and we'd bought this candelabra that was really pretty. It had a base, and it sat on something. And you know, and I think she even said, you know, John, I don't think that looks that sturdy. But I said, oh, honey, it'll be fine. It was beautiful, and it held the candles, you know, parallel like this, and, you know, the purple candle, pink candle, purple candle, and then this white candle, you know, the Christmas Eve candle, the Christ candle. And the little kids had sung their song. We had lit the final candle in the Advent, and it was just beautiful. And the kids were sitting down, and I was standing here, and I was praying, thanking God for His coming and everything. And poor Arlene, and I don't tell this to really highlight something that she did wrong, but that just happened to be part of the funny part. But anyway, there was a microphone that had gotten tangled up, and Arlene was trying to get it straightened up, and she pulled on this microphone, and it happened to be wrapped around the base of this candelabra. And in a moment's notice, while I was praying, the candelabra went over, bounced off the steps, onto the floor. She extinguished the Christ candle on Christmas Eve. And it was like, you know, I paused in my prayer and I'm like, that didn't just happen. You know, what do you do? I thought, you know what, I'll just pray long enough so they get it set back up and get the Christ candle back lit. And that's basically what happened. But it was, you know, and after it was over, we got home, and poor Arlene, she said, you know what, I'm glad that's over. You know, my son-in-law told her recently, you know what he told her? He said, we're going to tell that story at your funeral. Yeah, we probably will. Yeah, that may be. Hey, you do know that if you're a part of a family of a preacher, everything's fair game, okay? But you know, we've all had those days, right? man, I'm glad that's over. I stand here at the end of 220, and I'm sure you join me in saying, you know what, I'm glad that's over. And I don't know how much is going to change or how quickly change is going to come, but I know that as we face this new year, we should make sure that, while we are hoping for great changes in the world and in our communities around us, we need to ask God, first of all, to make sure that He changes us. And that I have a wonderful attitude of faith and understanding. Understanding in Him and in His will as I go into this new year. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, you know, Bible passages, and I came on this passage, and I love this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, because I think the analogy here fits really well with where we are right now, looking back, good riddance, and looking forward with faith and understanding in Him. He said, do you not know that in a race, that's what life is, right? That in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Now think about this. I think that what he means there is that you need to run like you're going to win, but you pretty much know you're not. Right? I mean, I'm not going to be first, but it's not just about being first. It's about completing what God has in front of you. And you know what? There's only one winner crossing the line first, but he wants us to cross the line faithful. Maybe we can't cross the line first, but we can cross the line faithful. Look what he says in verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Look at this next verse. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't feel like I'm running here at the end of the year. But I think at the end of the year, it's a good time to think about running and how God calls us all to run the race and to finish the race and to finish the course. It's what Paul says in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, that I've run the race, I've kept the faith, and now there is a crown for me. I don't know if you've ever thought about this idea of life being like a race, and that you're running to win that race. But let me tell you something, folks. That's exactly what God wants us to think about as we are right here at this moment. Let me give it to you this way. Have you ever done anything where you've timed something, where you've ran, and you have what's called intermediate times? You have you're going to run a 5 mile race, and you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to average 9 miles per minute. And after you run 1 mile, you click your watch and you look, oh my, that one took me 9.5 minutes. And you know that the next mile, you need to speed it up. You know, have you ever watched an Olympic event, an Olympic running event, and they're running the race, and the announcer says, oh my goodness, he's ahead of world record pace. You ever watched even the swimming events? They have that line that floats across the pool. And sometimes the line is behind them, which means they're going slower than world record. Or sometimes the line is in front of them, and they know that, man, they're gonna get it. But you have to know what your intermediate time is. And you know what, folks? I think right now, at the end of this year, and as we look at this new year, what is our intermediate time? How are we doing? Are we on pace? Are we lagging behind? Bible makes it plain that if we finish, we're going to win. It's not that we have to be first, we have to finish. Notice that verse there. It talks about how when you run, don't do it aimlessly. Don't run like someone running aimlessly. What's aimlessly? It means that you have no finish. You don't have the finish line in mind. You're just kind of wandering, running around, kind of like a 3-year-old out in the backyard. You know, they run 12 miles in a 12-foot area. You know, they just go. It's just, you know. Or he says like a boxer who's beating the air. You know, we need to understand that we have a real adversary that hits back. We're not just swinging at the air. We're not just shadow boxing. We have somebody that's trying to hurt us. So when we run, we have to not do it aimlessly and not to box like we're beating the air. He says, no, I strike a blow to my body, which means that I train, that I get ready. So here we are, folks. We're looking at this new year. And let's use this analogy to figure out what our intermediate time is. How we need to do better. How we need to speed it up. How we need to catch up. How we need to train and buffet our body so that we can be better prepared for what is in front of us. So here's what I want to do. Real simple. I want to give you just a few ideas from this passage and also a passage in Hebrews chapter 12 that tell us how important this is to get our intermediate time and to know who we are and how we're entering into this new season or this new year. Number one, we all need to have a time to reevaluate. And, you know, to honestly look at yourself and to ask yourself, you know, how am I doing? How have I done this past year? What have I learned? What have I done well? What have I done very poorly? Because you know what I found? I found that most of the time, what's happened this past year is I've handled the pandemic and being isolated and all those things pretty good. But I think what happens is a lot of times we end up treating other people badly. You know, I was in the hospital the other day. They're letting us back in some to visit with people. And I was down in the waiting area at the Altoona UPMC Hospital, and I had a cup of coffee. And the lady checked me in. You know, she checked my temperature. She asked me the question. She cleared me to come through. And I went in, and I had to think about, you know, what I was doing and who I was seeing and everything. So I sat down in the lobby down there, and I took my mask off, and I was just sipping my coffee. And this nurse that was over there at the door, I think her name was Barney. I'm just kidding. She came over and she kind of got on me and she said, "Sir, you need to put your mask on." And I said, "Well, I'm just sipping my coffee here just for a minute." She said, "Well, you put your mask on and you take it off and take a sip and then you put it back on." That's why I said Barney. I said, "Okay, I'll do that." And I put my mask back on. And I sat there. And I spent about 10 minutes not actually preparing for what I was going to do, but just thinking about how that lady had insulted me, had wronged me, had made me mad, and had ruined my day. Has that happened to you this year? You know, you think I'm handling these things pretty good, but then what we do is we mishandle relationships because how this situation is handled us. You know, as I go into this new year, I'm telling you, I don't know when it's going to change. I don't know how it's going to change so drastically. But I really want to treat people well. You know, Jesus could walk among a group that was ready to stone a woman caught in adultery. And he could speak truth and life and grace and mercy. Everyone that was there. Jesus could go into the adversarial country of Samaria and find himself talking to a Samaritan woman. And she didn't think that he should talk to her, but he knew that he wanted to talk to her. And he gave her some truth that changed her life. Did you ever notice that whoever Jesus was dealing with, he dealt with them well? I think that we need to reevaluate that. You know, I had one gentleman tell me, I'd said to him, I said, you know, one of the positives that's come out of this situation is that we've got to spend a lot more quality time with our families, with our spouse, husband, wife, with our children. I mean, goodness sakes, with our dog and cats. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff has been kind of nice. And he said to me, he said, well, he said, yeah, that's nice as long as you have a committed and unified home. And then he described this situation of how, for him, it was awful. Because he and his wife were at odds. With their children, it was strained. You see, I think God wants us to stand at the threshold of a new year and reevaluate our lives, and mostly reevaluate how we treat people. Because if we treat people better this coming year, I'll guarantee you we will be happier. We will be more content. Their life will be better, and our life will be blessed. Here, let me give you another one. Not only should we reevaluate, but we also should rearrange. We should rearrange. Now, what I mean by that is to rearrange our priorities in life. For example, you know, if you're really struggling in your home with this time of COVID, it's probably because your priorities are out of sorts. They're not in the right order. You know, where's God on your list of priorities? Is he top? Is he first? Or is he somewhere else? You know, I've found that most of the time, oh yeah, God's my number one priority. But in reality, if someone really evaluated our life, they would say, no, God isn't at the top. But he certainly should be. Where's your family? You know, one person told me that one of the hardest things this past year was because they were working at home. And the kids and the people that were in the home, you know, they wanted the parents to be present, to be active, but they had to work. You know, they still had to get online and do things that way. You know, parents have become teachers and teaching their children online and making sure that they're involved in all of that. And where, you know, I'm blessed. I don't have that situation in my home. But I would say that if that is hard for you and you like speak badly about that, you need to rearrange your priorities. You know, the kids need to be up there on our list somewhere, and we need to do our very best with them. How about spiritual disciplines? Where are they on your list? You know, reading the Word and praying and acts of kindness and service and using the spiritual gifts that God has given us. You know, I think when we elevate those things high on our priority list, that it'll be amazing what will change in our lives. Listen, folks, if we do these two things, if we reevaluate, if we rearrange our priorities in life, I'll guarantee you that 2021 will be head and shoulders above the year that we just spent. And then the third thing, we need to make sure that we renew. You know, one of the most beautiful things about the Christian life is the opportunity to be renewed. That God offers His grace and mercy and forgiveness. That we have redemption freely given to us. That God really does love us so much that He will just simply let us off the hook and give us a new beginning. You know, I had a conversation one time with a young lady who said that her biggest regret in life was that she had become sexually active pretty young as a teenager. And as she grew up into adulthood, and as she met the man that was going to be her husband, she looked back with lots of regrets that she had done those kinds of things in life beforehand. But it was really neat because she shared that because she found Jesus and He forgave her, that she felt like that she could go into her marriage kind of like a spiritual virgin. And he could come into the marriage as a spiritual virgin because of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. That's the power of the Spirit of God. See, folks, 2021 can be better, not because the virus is eradicated and is gone, but it can become better simply because we become better in our dependence in and on and our relationship to Jesus Christ, our Lord. So as we stand here at this new day, let's say, God, renew me. Make me a new person. Give me a new beginning. I remember the day that I was baptized, September 22nd, 1977. Long time ago, really. But I remember when I was being baptized, and as the baptism was finished, and we were standing up there, and actually my sister was going to be baptized next, I was looking down, and I said to a dear friend of mine, Joe, that was standing beside me, I said, "You know what? That water's awfully dirty." And she said, no, it's not. I mean, it was clean, it was pure. And I said, "No, it's dirty with me." Paul was told to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And when you think symbolically that all of your sins have been washed away, that you are never more perfect, you are never more new than at that moment, than when you were a brand new newborn baby. And here's the thing, folks. God offers that to all of us. So you know what? I don't know if you think back to 2020 and you think about everything that's happened to us, or maybe you think about 2020 and you think about your own sins. 2020. What did I say? 2020. I'm talking about electricity in your home. And but as you look back, you can think about the things that happened to us, but then you can also think about the things that we willfully did that took us further away from God. And I'm telling you that you can stand right here today at this new juncture, and you can know that God has forgiven you and that God will give you a new beginning. I love this passage in Hebrews chapter 12. It's kind of analogous to the passage we read in 1 Corinthians 9, but he says in Hebrews 12:1, he said, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." You see, folks, here we are, asking God to help us reevaluate, to rearrange, to renew. But then we come to this passage of Scripture, and I think it teaches us a couple of great things. Number one, we're not alone. He says, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. What's he talking to? He's talking about everybody that he's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. The great hall of fame chapter of faith. Those are all the witnesses that are surrounding us. But also all the witnesses that are surrounding us are us. So we are encouraged, we are helped by those that are here with us in the struggle and those that have won the struggle and are now in glory. And then look at this. He's talking about running and finishing the race, and he says, throw off everything that hinders us. Now think about it. When he refers to things that hinder us, he's not talking about sins. He's just talking about baggage. He's talking about things that we hang on to. He's not talking about mortal sins or anything like that. He's just talking about the junk and the garbage of life that weighs us down. You know, years ago, Arlene and I, when we would travel, I had this suitcase that I liked to travel with. It was an old suitcase, actually, that her grandparents had bought her when she graduated from high school. and this one suitcase. I just liked it. I liked the shape of it. I liked how you could stuff it full of stuff, and you just had to carry it. And I carried that suitcase for quite a long time around airports, you know, really all over the world. And then one day Arlene was like, honey, why don't you use this one? Okay. And I reluctantly gave up the one I always enjoyed or thought I did. And she gave me this new suitcase. And when we got to the airport, it was like I pulled out that handle and I pulled it. I'm like, whoa. You know, have you ever gone around, Chicago or Atlanta Airport and you're carrying a suitcase and all of a sudden you have one that's on wheels? It's like, man, this is awesome. Why did I do that? You see, a lot of you guys are carrying a lot of baggage you don't have to carry. You really don't even have to pull it. You just have to give it up. That's what he's talking about here when he talks about the things that hinders us. Look what else he says. He says everything that hinders us and the sin that easily entangles us. See, being entangled is something is worse than being hindered. You know, being hindered by something, you can leave it, you can walk around it, you can ignore it. But you can't ignore something that entangles you because it's wrapped around your legs and your ankles and it trips you and you can't walk until you get free of it. See, he's talking about two different things here. He's talking about things that hinder you and he's talking about sins that entangle you. Man, those are hard to lay down, aren't they? You know, probably everybody in this room, we all deal with sins that we've dealt with for a long time. Maybe this is the year that we say, God, I want victory from this. Because I reevaluate, because I rearrange, and because you renew, I can start over. And then and one more thing here, folks, you can't miss it. He says you run the race with perseverance. What do? You fix your eyes on Jesus. Not on what surrounds you. Not on the things that are hindering you. Not on the things that cause you to sin. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at the finish line, how far you have to go, how long it's going to go, how you're so tired. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He says he's the author and perfecter of our faith. Think about that. The author means it was his idea. And the perfecter means that he's still involved in it today. And he wants to help you. You know, one of the greatest stories I ever heard about this was a fellow that told me one time that he had volunteered for the Special Olympics to volunteer in the Special Olympics. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, a couple of you. First service, there were several people that had actually done that, and we were talking about it after service. But what this fellow said, that the job that he was given was that he was to root Bobby on when he ran his race. Bobby was a small, young, Down syndrome boy, and he was in the Special Olympics, and they gave this guy the job of when Bobby runs, you cheer him on. He said he met Bobby before the race, and he just loved him. He said, Bobby, you get tired or you want to quit or whatever, you look up. He said, I'm going to be cheering you on. And he said he noticed that when the race started and Bobby started running, he said Bobby didn't look at in front of him. Bobby didn't look at the other competitors that were running. Bobby didn't look at the crowd in the stands. Bobby didn't look at anything except him. And he said, I made sure that every time he looked at me, I was saying, come on, Bobby, you can do it, buddy. Come on, let's go. And Bobby did. I think that's exactly what this verse is talking about. You know, we can look back and we can say, good riddance. And we can look forward and we can still be overwhelmed by the things that are around us. Or we can say, God, please help me. Help me to reevaluate my life. Help me to rearrange my priorities. Help me to renew my commitment. Help me to run with perseverance, laying aside those things that hinder me, overcoming those sins that entangle me, and keeping my eyes on you. Folks, I don't know about you, but I think that that's a great plan for this coming year. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we stand here and in many ways we are tired because of this year that we've gone through. Lord, we are uncertain about when or how or if it's going to get better and change. But God, I am convinced that 2021 can be better than this year that we've just gone through. And not just a little better, but lots better. If we just take to heart this message from your word today. And Lord, as we sing this wonderful song together, I pray, Lord, that all of our hearts will make a commitment to you. To make resolutions, Lord, as we go into this new year. With all that you've blessed us with, Lord. And may the challenges be overcome. May the mountains be flattened by our faith in you. And may we, Lord, be as trees planted by the stream of water, always nourished by being close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.